says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom that you so freely offer us. You give to all men liberally and upbraideth not. We thank you for that. We are not worthy, we are not deserving, but we do praise your name for your free, generous giving of something that we need so desperately, something that is so essential for life. Help us to appreciate it for what it is and to desire it as we should. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Listen to this article from a news source that I found. A treasure hunter believes he is close to discovering a legendary lost gold mine worth billions. Adam Palmer, 43, has searched for Slumach's lost mine in the Canadian wilderness for 23 years for its rich bounty of gold. Legend has it, Slumach, an indigenous man, brought huge nuggets of gold to nearby town New Westminster, but never revealed its source. In 1891, Slumach was hanged for murder and cursed those who tried to find his gold. "When I die, the mine dies," he allegedly said. Mr. Palmer is searching the area north of Pitt Lake in British Columbia for the treasure. There are doubts over the legend and the existence of the mine, with the story potentially a typical example of a fictional legend passed down through generations. But Mr. Palmer believes he has found a lead, a lost mine. In the mountains north of Pitt Lake, Mr. Palmer explained, a gold mine worth billions is said to exist. The old mine we found last year was collapsed under a landslide, but we dug it open. We haven't been able to fully examine it yet. We're waiting to go back inside with more gear and equipment to get through the blockage and further down into it. Now we're waiting to hear back to find out how old it is based on evidence we found inside. Mr. Palmer has found many clues in his long hunt, saying that every year we discover something we've never seen before. He added, "We found an old prospector's cabin that had mining tools in it and an ancient rock shelter cave with pictographs painted on the walls from hundreds of years ago. We found an ancient trail system that has been archaeologically dated to have been used for thousands of years for trade between the First Nations. We believe all this evidence is connected somehow, and the secret lies within the history and culture of the region." Newspaper reports from the early 20th century claim that a prospector located the mine in 1901, but he died after an illness. The prospector wrote in a letter to a local paper in 1915 that he found golden nuggets as big as walnuts and had buried some under a tent-shaped rock. Adam found a strange-shaped boulder and thinks it could be the rock in question. But another prospector called Robert Volcanic Brown is described by Mr. Palmer as the only real proven account of someone who went looking and may have found it. He added, "Unfortunately, he disappeared without a trace in 1931, and to me, that is even more mysterious than the lost mine. I always say if you find Volcanic Brown, you find the gold. I'm either going to find him first or the lost mine, but I think if you find one or the other, they will both be in the same location." He added, "We're getting close. We've narrowed down the search to an area that was known as the location of Volcanic Brown, and we found some evidence there that may lead us in the right direction." Some believe the gold mine claims is an elaborate hoax, with a local historian saying he believes Slumach was real, but that the mine was invented by locals to attract prospectors to the area. And I read that whole article. It was kind of a lengthy story, but you probably, maybe, felt a little tinge of excitement at the idea. What if it's real? What if he finds it? And we've all heard this sort of story before. Maybe you've heard of the lost Dutchman's mine, or the lost soldier's mine, or the lost Escalante mine, and many others. Each story has just enough details to be alluring and give a place to begin the search for untold wealth, but not enough details to be fully verified and discovered. So these mines remain just out of reach and perhaps mostly fiction. What are some reasons people might search for these things? And I was trying to think, what would motivate someone, perhaps? Not everyone the same, but I imagine greed would be one motivation that some people might have. Another motivation might be desire for fame or notoriety. And the man in this article kind of mentioned that, because he said this area that we're searching is public land. It's owned by the government. So even if we found the gold mine, we wouldn't be able to keep the gold. So I'm not in it for that. And he spends his summers every year. He goes because of the weather particularly, but he works a job as well. He's a teacher. And so I imagine he gets summers off. But the winter is very harsh, and so you can't search then. But he goes out in the summertime to try to find this, because he just wants to be the one to find it. He's not going to be able to be rich off of it, but he probably wants to make his mark on history. He also mentioned the desire for an adventure, and some may look for a mine like this because of the thrill of the search. And what if it's just over that next rise? What if it's down there in that crevice in the ground? Some might look for the reason of a desire for financial security. I'm not greedy. I just want to provide for my family, and so I'm going to go look for this. Others might say, if I could find a mine like that with all this gold and all this wealth, think of how I could use that to help others. Some are just greedy. I want it all for myself. Others might say, I'd like to use that to help others more than I can with my own income right now. But of course, compared to all the people on the earth, not many people commit themselves to searching for lost gold mines. There are many reasons why someone would say, I'm not going to spend time looking. They might say, well, the main reason is it just doesn't exist. There's no such mine. I'm not going to look for it. Or it does exist, but no one can find it. It's impossibly hidden. Or maybe somebody can find it, but I can't find it. I don't think I have a chance of locating it, or I don't have the time and resources to search for it. Some might say it's too dangerous to go out there and look. And this man, Adam Palmer, gave examples of life-threatening situations. He said one time he was climbing and using climbing ropes, because they climb the cliffs and rocks and mountains and so on. And he said one time there was a big boulder that was accidentally dislodged, and it almost knocked people off the cliff, and so people could have died. And somebody might say it's too dangerous, or it's too much work. That it's whatever gold is out there, it's not worth the work. It's too much. Somebody might say I don't have a desire for that kind of wealth. What would I do with it? I already have a job. I have my needs met. Why would I go looking for something like that? And these are thoughts that you might have. Maybe one of you boys or girls are saying, I'm going to go looking for a mine like that. When I grow up and get big enough, I'm going to go do that. This is the kind of person that he was. And he's been captivated by this story for a long time. And now he's giving his time to do that. But there are many reasons why people would say, that search for wealth sounds interesting, but I'm not going to. Others would say I am. In our Proverbs text tonight, we find King Solomon, the wisest, I think he's often called the wisest man who ever lived, but I would say the wisest sinner who ever lived. Of course, not nearly as wise as the Lord Jesus Christ. But King Solomon, a very wise man, he is imploring his son to embark on a treasure hunt. But this treasure hunt was not for gold and silver. It's important to remember Solomon already had those things. And I don't think he ever counsels his son to search for gold and silver and to value that. He's telling his son not to prioritize gold and silver, but to prioritize something better: knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And we need to seek those things as well. Those things represent true wealth, and they will benefit us more than gold and silver ever could. Tonight, I want us to see from our text what is required for us to have knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. This is the search for true riches. The search for true riches. And I want us to see, first of all, in the first four verses of Proverbs chapter 2, three times in four verses, Solomon says the word if. If thou wilt receive, he says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words. In verse 3, he says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge. Verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver. And I mentioned a moment ago how people have their own reasons for embarking on a search for a gold mine or for saying, no, I'm not going to do that. People have their own reasons, and it wasn't guaranteed for Solomon's son to do this. And if he's talking about Rehoboam, as we would assume he is, we would say that Rehoboam never really did fully embark on that treasure hunt. He never did really lay hold on the wisdom that Solomon had to offer him, the wisdom that God had to offer him. And so this idea of embarking on it, first of all, the search for true riches is based on you. You must choose. What will you choose? Solomon says, if thou wilt receive, it wasn't a guarantee, it wasn't an assured thing. Every person has this personal choice to make. What will I do? Will I receive wisdom? Will I receive understanding? Will I seek after it and seek after God? The question is not on God's part, as though will he respond? Will he answer this prayer? Does he want this for us? The variable is not on his side, it's on our side. God is the known constant. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, Jesus says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. God is constant. God is known. God is telling us all about himself in Scripture. He is not a variable. He is not changeable. We are the ones that are going to change and vary, and we must choose. We are the ones to whom the word if applies. For treasure seekers like Adam Palmer, a lifetime of seeking may not yield any results. There's no guarantee that he'll find this mine. If they choose to look, they will find the mine if it exists, if they look in the right place, if they stay safe, if they persevere, if the weather cooperates, if the ground hasn't caved in and buried the entrance to the mine, and so on and so on. They will find it if they choose to look and if all these things are also true. But for those who desire true riches, there is also an if. But there's only one if, and it's relative to our heart choice. The if is on our side, not God's side. And so the question is, will you and I make that choice? You must choose. Will you invest what is required? And we're going to talk about some things that you and I must invest if we're going to have knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. We see them in this passage. Things that we must invest. And for a man like Adam Palmer, he has to invest a lot of things in order to look for this gold mine. And if we're going to search for true riches, we also have to invest some real things, some valuable things. But they are worth it. They are worthwhile. You must invest. What is required? What must the seeker invest in order to have these true riches? Well, first of all, verse 1 shows us a teachable spirit. Proverbs 2:1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. A teachable spirit. If you're going to have true riches, you must have a teachable spirit. It takes humility to be taught. You can listen to someone speaking at you, but it takes humility to be taught. It takes submission to value what others have to teach you. Well, I'm listening, but I think what you have to offer me is not worth anything. So I'm not going to hold on to this. I'm not going to try to remember this. I'm just going to discard it because I do not value what you have to teach. It takes some submission to value what others have to teach you. And I think about childhood as being a primary example of this, because children don't comprehend what their parents do, and their parents say, this is really important. You need to listen to me right now. And the child says, I don't see how it's important. And so their attention can wander and they can lose focus. And we can do this with others as well, with each other. I don't think what you have to offer is really important to me. I don't need this. I need something else. But if we're going to be teachable, we must submit and be able to value what others have to teach us so that we will take it in. It takes effort to retain those things. Solomon says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." You can listen, and I hope that you do. I hope that you receive. I hope you accept. But then you also need to retain it and hold on to it. Do you have a teachable spirit? Are you willing for God to teach you in any way that he would choose, using any person that he would choose? Or do you have to approve of it first? And by that I mean, well, I'll listen, but I first need to see that it's valuable. I need to agree that it's valuable. If I'm going to learn something, it needs to be proven to me that this is worth my time. Otherwise, I'm not listening. Otherwise, I'm not going to accept it. That's not a teachable spirit. Do you have to personally understand the wisdom of a truth before you accept it, or do you accept God's truth by faith? You will find the true riches if you have a teachable spirit. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, we must have a teachable spirit. Another thing that we must invest if we're going to find true riches is a listening ear. Look at verse 2, Proverbs 2:2. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. It is important to have attentive and listening ears. You must listen. You must pay attention. You must invest your time and your focus to listen to wisdom and to understanding, Solomon is saying here. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. If you're going to be wise, it's going to require something of you. It's going to cost you something. The true riches won't come to your door and knock it down and tackle you and force itself upon you. You have to invest something if you're going to have wisdom. You must have a teachable spirit that takes effort. You must have a listening ear that requires purpose. Matthew 13, verse 15. Jesus says, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." This is in response to his disciples asking him, "Why do you speak unto them in parables?" And he explains why. It's easy when you sit in church for four services a week. It's easy to become dull of hearing, not because you're trying to have a hard heart and you're resisting and you're rebellious, but because you're sort of glutted on teaching and preaching. It's easy to have ears that are dull and a heart that is waxed gross. But if you choose to have a listening ear, you choose to have a teachable spirit, you won't have this problem. You can ask God to give that to you, and you will hear. You will notice. The word incline means to give a tendency or propension to the will or affections, to turn, to dispose. You notice body language sometimes, and there are body language experts, and they can discern what you almost completely accurately, pretty accurately, they can determine what somebody is thinking based on how somebody is acting. And you've probably seen somebody where they're talking to someone, maybe you've been the one this has happened to, and you're talking to someone and they're facing you, and then they start turning their shoulder towards you and they start sort of edging away. Their body language, they are not inclined toward you. They are inclining away from you. They're not paying attention. They're not listening. They are signaling, maybe unintentionally, but signaling, I don't really want to be here right now. I don't want to listen anymore. And that is not what Solomon is saying. Solomon says, you need to incline. You need to pay attention. And to incline, another definition, means to bend, to cause, to stoop or bow, as to incline the head or body. So incline your ear. And I've said this before. But when someone is speaking very softly, or maybe there's other noise or you're hard of hearing, you're going to incline your ear to listen better. It shows that you care. It shows that you really want to pick up what's being spoken and what's being given, a listening ear. Solomon says, incline thine ear unto wisdom. Look for it. Soak it in. Desire it. Incline your ear. Put yourself out in order to take in what is being given here. It takes work to incline your ear to wisdom. It must be purposeful and prioritized and persistent. It's not enough to just, well, I did that once. There, all done. I don't have to do that again. It's a repetitive thing. To apply, he says, Proverbs 2:2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Apply has this idea of stretching to accommodate, stretching to use and to embrace, to take in. Apply thine heart to understanding. It's going to mean some stretching for us to learn and to grow this way. Your heart must be exercised to wisdom and understanding. It's intentional. It's strenuous. And I think of a person who goes to the gym, or maybe they go out running every day. Every single day they go and do that so that they can sweat and strain and endure pain in order to gain the strength and conditioning that they desire. And so we must apply our heart, our inner being, to obtain understanding. It's going to be work. It's going to take effort. But the reward is worth it. It's true riches. It is work to have a listening ear. And what if you knew? What if you just knew absolutely, without a doubt, for certain, that that gold mine, whichever one you want to pick, it is out there. It is out there. It is able to be found. It does have untold wealth buried there. And you can find it. What would you be willing to invest in that? Well, true riches are out there, and we can find them. So what are we willing to invest? You must invest a teachable spirit, a listening ear. Thirdly, an urgent desire. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 3 says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. This communicates urgency. And if you've ever lost your child in a busy store, you are probably just fine with raising your voice and crying out their name. You don't really care if people are looking at you. This is urgent. You don't mind calling 911, even if it turns out to be, oh, they're just an aisle over, because your child is important. This matters. This is really critical. And so I am going to cry after knowledge. I'm going to lift up my voice for understanding, because this is urgent. The word urgent means pressing with importunity, pressing with necessity. Violent, vehement, urgency. Now, urgent is not the same as frantic. The word frantic means mad, raving, furious, outrageous, wild and disorderly, distracted. Urgent is absolutely clear on what we're going after here, and I am not going to let obstacles stop me. This is important. Frantic is just all over the place, and I don't really know. I'm panicked. I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm just doing something, anything. Urgent is not that way. Turn to Exodus chapter 12. An urgent desire. This is what we must invest if we're going to have wisdom. We can't expect to sit back in our recliners and just coast through life and expect to have great wisdom. It's got to be a search that we have. It has to be a quest, the search for true riches. We have to invest something. Solomon says, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, it needs to be an urgent desire. Exodus chapter 12, verse 29. This is the passage where we find the first appearance of the word urgent in the Bible. It's an interesting context. Exodus 12, 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also." And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We be all dead men." And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. The Egyptians were crushed by this tenth plague. And no doubt there were many citizens that were fed up early on in the 10 plagues, but Pharaoh was not. And when this 10th plague came, these Egyptians were urgent in getting the Hebrews out of the land. Just go. It doesn't matter what it costs us. Go. Take the gold. Take the silver. Take the clothing. Just leave. This, we're going to be destroyed otherwise. They were urgent. Time was of the essence. It didn't matter what it cost them. Whatever the price, it was not too much. And this should be our desire toward wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. This is the desire of treasure seekers. They are willing to spend everything at the chance of treasure. We should be willing to spend all in order to lay hold on what God wants for us. If we have to give up what is valuable to our flesh in order to have what is valuable to God, that should not be a question for us. It should be an easy decision. We need to be urgent. It begins with salvation. That's the attitude of salvation. Lord, just take everything. I don't care. I'm destroying my life. I'm on my way to God's eternal wrath. I don't want that anymore. Take me. I just want what you have. And we're saved. And we need to have that same attitude throughout the Christian life. It begins with salvation and continues. It ought to continue until we go to be with the Lord for all eternity. Jesus spoke in parables in Matthew 13:44. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." He sold his house, he sold his furniture, he sold his clothing, he sold his SUV, so that he could buy that field with the treasure, because that was more valuable. It was worth it. It didn't matter what it cost him. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Somebody might say, "Well, what if I lift up my voice after understanding and cry after knowledge? What if I live this way, this urgent way of gaining wisdom? What if I live this way? Others will think me foolish. They will laugh at me." We must urgently desire God's wisdom, no matter what sinners think of us. It doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter what the ungodly, what kind of value system they have. It's false. It's wrong. We ought to desire what God wants for us. Lift up our voice and cry after understanding. We need to have a teachable spirit. We need to have a listening ear and an urgent desire. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4, we see the next thing. We need to have an unwavering focus. Solomon says, "If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures." The silver is worth seeking, and the treasures are hidden. In other words, it won't come easily. It won't come overnight. And we can lose heart sometimes because we've been looking for 12 whole minutes and nothing has shown up. So I don't think there's anything here. This man, Adam Palmer, didn't have that attitude, doesn't have that attitude. I think he's been searching for 23 years, if I remember right. He hasn't given up. I think he enjoys the search. We ought to enjoy the search for wisdom. But let's not give up. They're hid treasures, and they are treasures. They're valuable. Seek her as silver. Again, what if you knew that there was silver to be discovered? What if you knew, and nowadays you can buy silver in coins, bullion in coins and bars. What if you knew, then? And we do scavenger hunts with kids sometimes, and it's kind of fun because it's the adventure and the chase. And what if you knew there was a huge case of silver somewhere in the building, and it was all yours if you found it? I think people would be willing to look because it's worth finding. But you have to search as for hid treasures. It's not going to be sitting there on the surface. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some effort. And wisdom is the same way. An unwavering focus. The silver is worth it. Resoluteness, persistence, determination, tenacity, and steadfastness all have this thing in common. Those traits speak of an unwillingness to give up. A gold seeker may give up because it was hard, or because they lost interest, or because the gold maybe never existed to begin with. But these reasons for giving up, it's too hard, losing interest, or it didn't exist, those do not fit the quest for God's knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. It is worth the sacrifice. It's not too hard. It will deliver. And it is more valuable than anything temporal. It does exist. It is accessible. Any one of us, every one of us, may have God's wisdom. This isn't just, you know, to the person who gets there first. And whichever one of us is fastest, they claim the prize. That's how hidden treasure works. But all of us, it's infinite. God's wisdom is infinite. All of us may have it. We must not believe the lie it isn't worth the cost, or it isn't attainable to us. We must have a persistent focus on these true riches. If lost people, can be unwavering in pursuing earthly temporal wealth that will all burn up one day. One day it's all going to be destroyed. If they can be unwavering in pursuing temporal wealth, surely God's people can refuse to waver as we pursue eternal riches. Eternal riches. Look at Philippians chapter 3. We need to be careful how we seek after temporal things, because there's a point at which they become not worth the investment. Too much of our life is given over to those things. But that is not possible with eternal riches. And yet we don't seek them enough. Philippians 3, verse 7. Paul has just finished listing all his credentials in the flesh. And he says, "But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." All of these things that the flesh would have had confidence in, those things have been destroyed and gone as long as he's been dead. They passed away. They ceased to be applicable and important when he died. But the things that he counted loss and the things that he gained, I should say, he gave up these things in order that he could gain, those things are still in existence. Those things are still there. They're still applicable. He's still enjoying those things. We ought to be unwavering, have an unwavering focus on wisdom, on knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. You must choose. Will you have a teachable spirit, a listening ear, an urgent desire, and an unwavering focus? Only you can choose these things. And children, as you grow up, children, teenagers, young adults, as you grow up, you have to make that same choice. You've heard it all your life, perhaps. You've been in church all your life. And you can so easily say, "I'll be fine." You need to have these things. You need to seek after them. Because Proverbs chapter 2, let's turn back there. Proverbs chapter 2, Verse 5 is a wonderful verse, a blessed assurance. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5. If you do these things, verse 5 says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You must choose. There are some things to invest, but you shall reap. You shall find it. You will have these true riches. There is success waiting for you. There is a prize and a great treasure that you shall find. In the world, we seek knowledge from artists so that we also can create art. Children, I took music lessons, and music is an art. And you seek the instruction of artists, whether it's painting or drawing or music or something else, so that they can teach you how to make the art so that you can learn and do it yourself. You seek knowledge from scientists so that you can also benefit from the natural world in those ways. We seek knowledge from economists so that we can succeed in finances. We seek knowledge from doctors so that we may have better health. So shouldn't we seek knowledge from God so that we may know Him? If we search with all our heart, we shall find Him. It's not a question. There's no if about that. The only if is whether we will search or not. The outcome, when we search this way, the outcome is guaranteed. It's not in question at all. I find that so comforting. Because if I knew that I could give years of my life to something and it might end up being fruitless in the end, I would really hesitate about doing that. But it won't be fruitless. When you seek the Lord and you seek God's wisdom, you shall find the knowledge of God if you search with all your heart. The word shall is confidence, it's assurance. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, a wonderful passage of reassurance. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. The outcome is not in question. The only if is our choice, whether or not we will choose. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The if is on our part. Will we be faithful? Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God always delivers on His promises. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. You ask according to God's will, He will answer. He gives us these assurances. Sometimes people might sit back and say, well, that's fine for that treasure seeker. He's going after that lost gold. I am being wise to not go on that wild goose chase. He's wasting his time. But when it comes to true riches, you're a fool if you don't go on the search. You're a fool if you don't seek with all your heart. Because it's out there. It's here. But it's spiritually discerned. It's a gift from God. It's taught by the Holy Spirit. And we seek it with all our heart. We shall find. A gold seeker may come up empty. He may spend all and find nothing. But a seeker of God and his wisdom is guaranteed to be successful if they will invest themselves. The riches of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding will transform your life and will equip you to help others so that God can transform their lives as well. God tells us what it will cost, and he promises what we will gain. This is the guaranteed outcome of the search for true riches if we will choose to seek them. And may God give us a heart for those things so that we choose to seek, because we will find them if we seek with all our heart. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your